Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, Valio is Finland's biggest food exporter, which brands itself as the most innovative dairy and food company in the world. What's perhaps surprising is that right near the top of this organization is a New Ross native, Kevin Deegan. Kevin will be a speaker at the Agricultural Science Association's annual conference at the Rochestown Park Hotel on next Thursday, September 4th. And we go live now to Finland, indeed Helsinki, to talk to Kevin. Kevin, you're very welcome to the program.
Morning, Bobby. Nice to be here.
Now, let's get down to business, because on my research tells me that love brought you to Finland, not the dairy industry.
Yeah, it is the cliche. If you meet a Western male in Finland, it's usually what we call a love refugee.
So, right. Yeah, so you're one of those.
Yeah, that's right. 18 years ago now, I came to Finland, and it's been an interesting journey, I have to say.
Tell us a little bit about your food science background, Kevin. You studied in UCC. You also then did a PhD in sensory science in Helsinki. I'm interested in your background, firstly.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I guess I've always been interested in science in secondary school, and in Ireland, where we need to make these decisions quite early in our development about which direction we're going to move in. Science was always for me the thing, and I think that what attracted me to food science was that it is very, very practical, and also very something that you can, you know, tangible, put your finger on. So that led me to UCC for a bachelor's and a master's in food science. And I guess UCC historically and to this day is the center of food science and research in Ireland, and also internationally has an excellent reputation. A lot of the professors that I work with are internationally known in the area, especially in dairy science. And then on moving to Finland, I decided to continue with that and become even a little bit more abstract. So I started working with what's called sensory science. So sensory science is essentially how we interact with food. So right. Using our senses. And that's a really fascinating side of things. And it starts to talk about, we're not just talking about the lab anymore. We're talking about psychology. So how can different colors interact and influence the way that you taste, which is actually a physiological experience. It gets really interesting, and
sure.
it gets kind of abstract as well.
So that academic experience then brought you to your first job in Valio. And again, maybe tell us about Valio, a 2.3 billion euro company owned by 3,700 Finnish farmers and around for 120 years. This is a big business.
Yeah, this is 120 years anniversary this year, started in 1905. It's a cooperative made up of 13 cooperatives around the country of Finland, owned by, just correct you there, about 3,200 dairy farmers. And about 80% of the milk which is produced in Finland comes through Valio. So, it's
similar to Glanbia or Kerry?
Yeah, probably. A similar type of organization to us would be Carberry. So,
right.
So the cooperative owned, and also kind of very much science and innovation based as well. And I think that's been the competitive edge for Valio internationally in terms of our development over the last 120 years.
And what percentage of your business would be exports?
So it's about 35% exports. So our core markets are consumer markets in Finland, Sweden, Baltics, and then also we have subsidiaries in the US, in New Jersey, and in Shanghai. And then some other kind of random consumer markets, including Ireland now, actually.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Business with Russia, obviously, your world has changed hugely in the last few years. As I understand it, you did significant business with Russia before the Ukraine war. Did you have to change things pretty seriously at the company as a result of losing that business?
Yes, that was, I think in many ways, a big turning point for the company. So that, we're talking about 2014, essentially, when sanctions against dairy from the EU started. because of reasons. And at that stage, that was a very significant part of our turnover. And Valio had a presence in Russia for a long time, even in Soviet Union time as well, and a very well-known brand there. So that required us to kind of take a new mindset and a new way of thinking. And I guess in the bigger picture, so obviously with the more recent invasion of Ukraine recently, whatever skeleton organization we had there was then sold off. So we don't have any, obviously, business in there anymore and have no plans to go back. But that mindset change, I think, was one in terms of which we use quite often as an example of innovation, innovative thinking. So in many sense, you know, crises and crises drive innovation. They force you to make the decisions that you don't want to make. They give you focus. They give you an expedited timeline. Yeah. And schedule about what you need to do things. So that for many reasons actually was a big turning point in the company.
No, you're right. It's only really when you look back on these things that you see the value of them sometimes, that, you know, it forces you, as you say, to be agile, to be swift, to find new markets, whatever it is, to keep the lights on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if I could give you one very good example of a kind of a result of that, was that in 2018, we launched a plant-based brand called Oddly Good. And Oddly Good products are now actually found in Ireland, have been on the Irish market for a few years at this stage. And if you imagine what traditionally was a dairy cooperative, where we now call ourselves a food company, for a dairy cooperative owned by farmers to make the decision to start producing and selling products, which in effect are competing with our own products, that was quite the decision to make. And from an innovation point of view, I think I use it quite often as an example of how we now tend to approach innovation, which is maybe a little bit different to the traditional way, in terms of we look at how the world is changing. We try to understand and interpret what people want and what people need, and actually to be pragmatic about it. So in that case, we looked at, you know, these changes are happening. We had a lot of assumptions about people's behavior. We know, and you know as well, Bobby, that what people say and what people do are two different things. So we needed to spend a lot of time observing, understanding, and interpreting why this is happening. And actually, when we started to do that, we realized, given our experience, given our innovation capabilities, we have a role to play in this.
Sure.
And essentially, that's what we did. So Oddly Good was launched in 2018, spun off in 2022, if I remember correctly. We remain the majority shareholder in that company, and it's going from strength to strength. I recently purchased Rude Health, a brand, a similar brand in the UK, for example. So obviously, very strong international growth, very agile, and also challenging our thinking and our mindset about how do we do business and how we can do business in the future.
Sure. Tell me about your integration into Finland as a man from New Ross, learning the language. You say that, you know, learning the language, and Finnish, am I right in saying, is a difficult language for one to learn?
Well, it's often, you know, it's classed as a more difficult language for English speakers to learn. One reason is because it's very unique. So the other Nordic languages, so Swedish, Norwegian, Danish, have some similar root. So, you know, if you speak one of them, it's relatively easy to pick up the other, or at least understand the other. Finnish is a standalone. It doesn't have any similarity with other languages. Hungarian is a kind of a similar language as well, but that's quite is it difficult? Yes. Is it? There are some things about the Finnish language that are actually quite good. So it's completely phonetic. So that means that you say what you see,
yeah.
which as a native English speaker, we don't really kind of tend to appreciate the difficulty in people who are learning English, for example, that it's not phonetic. And I think the second thing is that there's lots and lots of rules. But once you learn the rules, there's hardly any exceptions. So it's a very systematic language in that point. And actually, maybe it kind of suited my way of thinking as well. I have that way of thinking that, you know, I like to learn. I like to put myself to challenge myself. And the funny thing is that, you know, people often ask, you know, well, how do people react when, because there's not a lot of, in the big picture compared to other European countries, there's not a lot of immigration to Finland. you don't hear a lot of foreigners speaking Finnish, especially because it's such a difficult language. So usually it's kind of the reaction is one of glee and one of want to help you out, actually, you know, and they're very, very happy that you actually respect the language. And in many ways, for a country with a similar population to Ireland, to still have its own native language as its main language is quite honourable.
Absolutely. So there's, 5.5 million people in Finland, similar to Ireland, as you say. Did you find it difficult to get your head around the sauna obsession? Because I believe there are 3.3 million saunas in Finland. Was that more tricky than the language?
There's a thing called sauna diplomacy in Finland, where it spreads to all parts, including business, actually. And in many times I've been in the sauna with people from work and people from other businesses as well. And I think it's probably the equivalent of the golf course
or the pub.
In Ireland.
It's like the pub.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah, except for you're naked, I guess.
Finally, Kevin, you're going to be talking. You're going to be talking at the Agricultural Science Association's conference next Thursday. What are you going to be telling the audience?
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity, I think. I mean, for obviously to come back, you know, and tell my story a little bit about, you know, what I've learned. And in many ways, Finland and Ireland have a lot of similarities. We're both on the periphery of Europe. Both have quite a rough history. Both have been under the thumb of a more kind of a dominant neighbor or neighbors. And both have seen quite good economic resurgence in the last 20 to 30 years, Ireland more so than in Finland. So obviously, you know, talking about the dairy industry, talking about a company like Valio, which I said represents, you know, 80% of the milk in Finland, and also how we approach innovation. So, you know, I think one of the big differences between the Finnish and Irish dairy system is that our dairy industry is that we have found growth through value-added consumer goods. So if you visit the store in Finland, we have about 750 products on the shelves, which are Valio brand products. And the variety is immense. So we've really been very good at finding value and finding growth in looking at people's needs, what they want, and reacting to those. And I think that's something that the Irish dairy industry could learn. So I'm going to be talking about that. And also just talking about, like I mentioned, about, you know, how do we build a culture of innovation? This is what I'm responsible for in the company, is, you know, the everyday, the interactions between people in order for innovation to happen, in order to empower people, and all the cliches, you know, psychological safety. But I mean, you know, we try to boil down innovation culture into something tangible. And it, essentially, it's how people interact with each other. It's as simple as that.
Oh, right.
When we talk about innovation, we talk about people.
Well, listen, it's great to talk to you, and you really are a great ambassador for Ireland in Finland, and I'm sure many will look forward to hearing your delivery next week. So thanks very much for joining us, Kevin.
Thanks very much, Bobby. Nice to talk to you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.